News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Time now, 2:35 p.m., you are listening to the News Talk powerhouse in North Alabama, and according to the recent rankings, the biggest show across the North Alabama in the afternoons is this one, and that's because of y'all. We have the best fans in the world, so thank you, all of you Right Side ruffians out there who listen to this show. Coming up next, I've got a good friend of mine, Connie Rowe, who has served in the Alabama State House since 2014 in House District 13, hailing from the Jasper area. After a long career in law enforcement, she served the state as a representative, and she now most recently is a senior advisor to the lieutenant governor of the state of Alabama. Connie Rowe is on the line. Hey, Ms. Connie Rowe, how you doing?
I am so glad to be spending some time with you and your ruffians. I love that. I love that description of your listeners.
Absolutely. Well, we call them Right Side Ruffians. So if you need a t-shirt that says I'm a Right Side Ruffian, we got one for you.
Well, because I have a figure that's made for radio, I'll take one of those larger ones. You just get it to me.
Oh, Lord, Connie. Well, hey, listen, first of all, before I even get into the breaking news that I kind of told the folks about right before the break, how do you like the new gig? So you're not having to be down there in the ant farm on the House floor anymore. You're working big leagues with the lieutenant governor.
Well, I'm really enjoying it. It's, you know, it's different. I've just got to kind of find my groove in the record. We're working on that, and every day there's something new to do. It's a very different experience on the seventh floor, and I'm glad to be 58 years old and still relevant and a part of things, and you know, right in the middle of where the action is. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, and I think you were, I've said before, I think you're a great pick for this. You do bring a knowledge of the House that the lieutenant governor's not had a chance to personally experience in several years. He was down there himself for a while, but you've got fresh experience there, and now you're up on the seventh floor. And truthfully, you had 105 cats try and help herd downstairs. Now you got to herd one, the lieutenant governor. So get him to the podium on time. You'll be good to go.
That's right.
Well, hey, so Connie, breaking news was about 45 minutes ago, the governor has called for a special session tomorrow for the sole purpose of spending the federal relief dollars, the ARPA funds. I guess first question is, why did it require a special session?
Well, you know, I think that there is a deadline that we're pushing on one of the more important portions that I want to talk to you about, of where some of this ARPA money is going to go. And that deals with money that's going into the unemployment trust fund. And I think there's a deadline on that for the 31st. And, you know, there are so many issues. And, of course, I have not had a conversation with the governor personally and do not know what her thinking is exactly. But my thinking myself would be that to isolate this issue would help us to get this moved without interruption and, you know, the strategy and tactics that are sometimes used to slow things down or kill things. I think it's better to put it into a special session and let's look at just this subject.
So was there, and I've seen various plans on where things are going in terms of, you know, what the thoughts are for spending the money. And we're talking about what, over half a billion, it was 500 and how many billions dollars, 584 billion. Is that what we're talking about?
Well, Alabama got 212 billion through the American Rescue Plan. And so far, we've received $1 billion of that, $400 million toward prison construction, $80 million to reimburse hospitals and nursing homes, which leaves us with a balance of $580 million in one-time funds to spend during this special session on this concentrated effort to allocate those dollars most appropriately.
Right, and my apologies. I think I added a B where there should have been an M there, but yeah. So the 580 something million dollars, as we're looking at spending this, I'm hearing right now there are thoughts on infrastructure like sewage and water infrastructure. I'm hearing things like broadband. I'm hearing a call to upfund, of course, the retirement compensation fund, or not retirement, but the unemployment compensation fund. And then another one is on potential for hospitals, and even tourism has been in the mix. Where are you thinking this is headed right now, Connie?
Well, you know, through yesterday, there were a series of proposals that were floated and numbers that were you know, sliding in one direction or another. I think that there were probably some things that we initially thought would be in this portion of the money that's going to wind up maybe catching some of the money that we expect to come in beyond today or beyond this time period. We're looking at some more money to drop in the summer from this pool. And I think that there are some things that we had considered would be in this particular plan that we'll see later. There is $85 million in here for rural broadband, and it's specifically dedicated to the middle mile of lines that will hopefully entertain companies that do broadband service to extend it beyond that middle mile. It'll just leave them the last mile. Instead of two-thirds of the reach, it'll just leave them with a third. There's a lot of money for sewer and water projects. They total $225 million, but $120 is for emergency projects, which, you know, happen across the state as a result of natural disasters, as a result of, you know, different events that happen and go on, collapse of old systems. And then there's $105 that are in matching grants for water and sewer. And some of that is going to be awarded in a new and interesting way that I do not have the details on, but I'd love to talk to you about it when we dig in later. $36 million for healthcare delivery infrastructure is in the proposal the last one that I've seen floated. And then $30 million for rural hospitals. And I think that's going to be looking at the definition of rural there is going to matter. The $36 million in healthcare delivery infrastructure is about telehealth. Which, you know, I have an 85-year-old mom. We have used telemedicine in the last 2 years so as not to take her into a doctor's office where there were sick people and things like that. So I think that's a very interesting thing. The unemployment trust fund is approximately $80 million. What that'll do, and this is all new to me, so I get this right, it will set the trust fund back to the pre-pandemic level. So that businesses, any employers really, including cities and counties that have employees that pay into the unemployment tax fund, they'll avoid a tax increase. So
yeah.
And the governor, Lieutenant Governor's office, very excited about that one, one that we feel like is beneficial to businesses of all sizes, particularly small businesses.
Yeah, Connie, I want to jump on two of those pieces, the infrastructure and the unemployment. So the unemployment compensation, I'm very familiar with that, having worked with staffing companies and things before that deal with high levels of employment compensation. And the bottom line is, I think you said it and you're correct, that the employer portion of a payroll tax partly funds the unemployment compensation fund. And the more people go out on unemployment, the more it draws down from that fund that they've paid into. And then at some point it gets, you know, depleted. Well, they got super depleted in the past year. They've already plussed it up once with federal dollars, and now they're looking at plussing it up again. I think part of the frustration might be out on the street is that a part of the reason why it got depleted is because the governor chose to call some certain businesses non-essential and shut them down and thereby exacerbate the unemployment. So that was a bit of a frustration. But you're right. And every employer who has people that claim unemployment compensation fund winds up seeing their taxes go up.
You know,
go ahead.
Do not want to work.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. And one thing I will give her credit for too, because I'll call them good and bad when I see them, is she was one of the first governors to shut off the enhanced unemployment compensation, which I really thought was a great plan because it puts people back to work.
We want a healthy unemployment trust fund because there are circumstances in which we have people who want to work and who for whatever reason are not able to work. And it certainly props some folks who literally need help for a period of time up. And so we want to have a healthy, you know, unemployment trust fund. We don't want to be in a circumstance where we continually deplete it because of people abusing the system. And we're not able to provide any sort of help for people who are laid off at no fault of their own.
No, I get it. I think just it needs to be portrayed correctly from the executive branch that if this was a problem in part created by the executive branch's action, they shouldn't be taking a victory lap for using tax dollars to upfund part of what they created. So that's I think, but nonetheless, I think it has to happen. It's where we are, nonetheless. But let me ask you about the infrastructure. So the sewage and water infrastructure, a lot of times those are funded at the local level. So is this going to be like a fund that people can draw from, or is it going to be divvied out to the counties and municipalities, or are there projects already designated? What do you know about that?
Well, what I think is, I think that there are several good projects in the pipeline that have already done all of the preliminary work that must be done to justify programs. Validity. And I think that there's a portion of this, the $120 million, that will see work again on those projects relatively soon. I don't think that's going to be a big holdup. I don't think it's going to have a good match. And now, you know, special session starts at 11 o'clock tomorrow. All of these things could change. And you and I both know how that happens. But I think intention from the outset at this point is to make some money available in some areas where there are projects that are absolutely held up because of a lack of matching funds that are very necessary and needed projects.
Well, can I ask you one more thing before we go here? Was the call for special session something that House and Senate leadership told the governor, we feel like it's better to do it this way? Or was she dissatisfied with what kind of movement she was seeing and just called it and now they have to deal with it? Which way do you think it went?
Well, it would have to be speculation because I'm absolutely not privileged to.
Oh, you know all of it. You know all the bones. You know everything in my. I don't know. No. Go ahead.
I think there was an agreement that the best thing that we could possibly do in order to make sure that moving these ARPA funds in the most responsible way were not sidelined by some of the antics that sometimes occur in the legislature on both floors was to isolate them. Ultimately it is the governor's decision. I think she had plenty of help. I mean, opinions, influence, but you know, it's the governor's decision to call it issue. And I think this was ultimately her decision.
Well, I guess tomorrow, if the House and or Senate convenes and then says, we don't want to do this, and they decide to adjourn sine die from the special session right away, we'll know.
I know that a lot of people in the House and the Senate both have put a lot of work into, I mean, since last week when all of this kind of began. In fact, working over the weekend and yesterday on a holiday, I know that they put a lot of work into what is the best way for us to break this money down and use it for the best uses in the state of Alabama. I think a lot of people have worked on it.
And I guess the bottom line is we do have the money. We have to do something with it, period. That's where it boils down to.
Absolutely.
All right?
Absolutely. And you know, right. I'm you know, the lieutenant governor is particularly fond of the unemployment trust fund money. I love the sewer and water projects. I live in a rural area. I know how instrumental those are in moving a community forward.
All right. Well, Representative Connie Rowe, you are, as always, a wealth of knowledge, and I know you know stuff. I know, listen, just me and you talking, and 6,000 other people listening, but me and you talking, I know you know stuff down there in Montgomery. So just anyway, we'll keep calling on you and looking for the inside scoop, all right?
I tell you what I'll work on. I'll work on information that just you and I share. We'll whisper it to your thousands and thousands and thousands of listeners, and I'm sure they won't tell anybody because they're your listeners. They got to be good people.
That's absolutely. I'll bet you right side ruffians. You can trust all of them. All right, Connie Rowe.
Like
thanks
them.
For your
I
time.
Like
we appreciate you. You have a great day. Okay. All right. See you. All right, Copper, move us to a break. We ran a little long on that segment to make sure we had a chance to finish things up with State Representative Connie Rowe, who is now the senior advisor, by the way, to the lieutenant governor, which means that she will probably be sitting alongside him on the dais in the presiding over the state Senate throughout whatever session they happen to be in. Tomorrow, it's a special session, spending a whole bunch of money, $584 million or so dollars, just, you know, couch change money, but... looks like a lot to you and me. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. We'll come back and keep breaking that topic down. Be right back.